Will do. The Auriga fire accelerated for a relatively large piece of the destroyed cruiser. The twisted oval fragment was approximately 50 meters down its long axis and featured a gold finish down one side, revealing that it had once been part of the hull. It tumbled freely through the hexes and appeared to be the focus of a concentrated scavenging effort, leaching metal from one end. Lorin readied herself for the order to fire. When Master Satil's pod came into view, getting her safely and quickly clear would be the priority. Then,
"I don't see any pods,"
Ula said.
"Are you sure this is the right spot?"
It wasn't the first time the former envoy had expressed doubts about Shigar's abilities. Lorin wondered if he was part of the Axis in the Republic government that mistrusted the Jedi and their methods.
"I'm sure," said Shigar. "She's not in a pod. She must be in a pressurized compartment in that chunk."
"I can ready a docking ring," said Jet, "if you can pinpoint a location."
"We won't have time," said Ula. "There are hexes all over that thing."
Shigar said,
"You have vac suits, don't you? I'll jump the gap."
"I'm coming with you," said Loren.
"No,"
he said. "I'll need you on the cannon, making sure no more come aboard. Drop me off, back away, then come get us when we're out. I'll take a spare suit for her."
"And if her compartment doesn't have an airlock?"
"Then I'll think of something else."
She heard him crawling up his access tunnel, back into the ship, and turned to look at him.
"Are you sure this is the right thing to do?"
she called at him along the tunnel, unable to hide the intense worry she felt. The wreckage was crawling with hexes. One slip, and neither he nor his master would come back.
"Positive," he said. "She's the most important person in the galaxy. It's my duty to save her."
Then he was gone, leaving Lorin feeling slightly wounded by his words. On Hutta, he hadn't come to save her. If his deal with Tassa Barish had gone awry, she would have ended up Rancor food for certain. But for Master Satil, he swept in with lightsaber swinging, risking life and limb, and not even letting Lorin help. She wondered if he thought she might slow him down.
"Don't think like that," she told herself. "We're still partners, and this obviously isn't going to be over as quickly as we thought. Chances are we'll find plenty more opportunities to fight back to back."
She swung the cannon around and picked off a hex standing high on the back of the wreckage. That was one less he would have to worry about. The Auriga Fire's vac suits were simple models with no armor, inbuilt weapons, or maneuvering jets, and barely 50 minutes of air in their backpacks. Shigar guessed they were normally used for quick repairs outside the ship, where they could be tethered to the main life support. Shigar stripped out of the new clothes he had improvised from Ula's official wardrobe. Brown robe, black pants, and sand-colored top, the closest he could approximate to Jedi colors, then picked the cleanest suit from the rack and slipped it quickly over his unprotected limbs. Ideally, he would have worn a body glove, like Lorin's, but there wasn't time for such niceties. He would use biofeedback to regulate his body temperature. He fixed his lightsaber to a clip on the suit's right hip, where it would be accessible in an instant, and slung a spare suit over the crook of his left arm.
"Aft airlock primed and ready,"
said Jet over the suit's intercom.
"Okay."
Shigar tested the seals one last time. The air tasted stale, but that was the least of his problems.
"Get in as close to the wreckage as you can."
His breathing sounded loud in his ears as the airlock's inner door opened.